HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Okay, so today I'm joined by Susan Manning. Susan is an executive coach for HR professionals. She's based here in Ireland, but Susan, I think you deal with people internationally. You're very welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Declan. I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for the invite.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Susan, I was really interested to talk to you today, especially because you specialize in helping HR professionals, and obviously our listeners are primarily in that field. Before we get into that, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your career and maybe how you got into coaching?
Yeah, absolutely, Declan. Thank you. So I've spent over 20 years working in the field of HR. It was my first job when I left college. I went straight into HR. I guess I really crafted my career in EMC, which was bought by Dell. And I was there for 12 years. And during that time, I worked very hard. I was very focused, and I was very fortunate to be promoted right up to the director level, leading a team of HR business partners and supporting about 3,500 people. But all of those people were in Ireland, mainly in Cork. So I very much wanted to move into the international role. So I left and I went to a company called Maycom, which again is a US multinational, leading a international HR team, a lot smaller organization. But it gave me the experience and that scope of supporting employees in 17 different countries. When I was in EMC, I was fortunate enough to go back to school and do my master's in coaching and behavioral science. And I did it with Henley Business School in London. And again, very fortunate in probably more in EMC than Maycom to get involved in in-house coaching with the senior leaders. And I really enjoyed it. I found that I was good at it. I had the science behind me and I very much enjoyed it. And then, you know, that famous question, you know, if you were lying on your deathbed, what would be the one regret you would have? And it started twirling around my head. You know, I'd really regret if I didn't try and do leadership coaching full time. I had the experience, I had the education now. So I was very fortunate. The ducks were in a row, and I took the leap. I left corporate, and my great paying salary, much to the horrors of some of my family members. And you know, I was just reminded of a quote that said, "You don't need to agree with my decision, but I need you to support me." And the moment I started saying that to people around me, I'm talking about my family, and they got on board, and off I went. So I didn't necessarily think that I would coach just HR professionals when I set up. I'll be honest, but I found that. Well, there's two things. I found, firstly, the HR professionals liked seeking me out, liked approaching me, because I understand their world. I understand their language. I understand their challenges.
Sure.
I understand some of their setbacks. And I've been there, right? I've been that person who found their career stalling. I've been that person that had to look at my behaviors and understand what it is that I needed to change, to develop, to grow, to get to the next level. So I found that I was working with a lot of HR professionals. And then look, the last 18 months, I mean, if there is a cohort of professional people that have really been under pressure, pushed to the limit, asked to do things that they have never been asked to do before, stretched as far as they can be, it's our HR teams. And over the last 18 months, I have just found that more and more senior HR professional leaders were looking for coaching, coming for coaching. And I developed a 12-week program just for HR professionals, right? And it's based on my own experience of if I was In corporate, if I was in work, what I would like from a HR coaching program, and based on what I was hearing from people that they were looking for. So I developed that, and that I'm very lucky and fortunate that that has been generating a lot of success. And the feedback is, yeah, this is just exactly what I wanted, because it's solely aimed at HR professionals. There's so much leadership coaching out there, and it's brilliant. And that there's a place for that as well, absolutely. But this is just to help HR professionals develop into their career and have career success.
The difference between coaching in-house and coaching as like a private consultant, is it stark? Or I'm sure what you do is there's commonalities, but what are the differences there? Or is there any pitfalls between one versus the other?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, on the surface, they're similar, absolutely. You know, they're the same areas coming up. But I think if someone is coming to coaching themselves and they're not being sponsored by an organization, they've put thought into what is it that I want, you know, what, and they're really vested. There is sometimes that mindset that, you know, coaching really is because you're not performing. It's like, you know, when a leader goes on a project, it's because they're not performing. They get coaching because they're not performing. And that's not the reason to take, that's not the reason for taking up coaching. I mean, coaching is to hone that skill, to develop it and really move you from being good to great. So I think that if external coaching, the person often wants more out of it, they're more committed. Obviously then, you know, you have that divide. I don't have any of that culture, any of that political savvy, any of that makeup that you would have in in-house coaching. And I think the boundaries are very clear. I'm there to support that employee. I do some coaching for corporates, and that's great as well. But you have that triage of reporting back to the manager or in some way, and the employee. So there is definitely a difference. But fundamentally, the situations are often the same, and the approach is the same.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, actually. Yeah. And in that sort of private capacity, they're effectively putting money where their mouth is, almost, in terms of that need. So that is an interesting distinction. You mentioned earlier that in the last year or so, there's been more and more people interested in the uptake of your coaching services from HR. What sort of things are you hearing? What are the drivers at the moment, or what have you experienced in the last year? Why are people coming to you?
A very easy answer to that is so many HR professionals are running on empty because they're exhausted. So absolutely around resilience. And when you start to run on empty, your confidence starts to be questioned. You know, you ask yourself, are you making an impact? Is this really what you want to do? You start questioning everything. So there is a lot around that. But there is also a lot around, Declan, about having your voice heard. And there's a couple of things with this. Firstly, you've gone from maybe being in-house, right? So it's very easy to have those conversations outside the door. It's very easy to speak in the boardroom. It's very easy to get in front of your CEO. Now you're all on Zoom. And I especially found with a couple of people that the meeting is over and they haven't had an opportunity to speak. So they've come to coaching to learn, how do I move outside my comfort zone, especially if they're an introverted preference and they like to do their thinking first and then speak. How do I do my speaking first? How do I move myself outside that comfort zone so I'm making an impact, you know? Absolutely, there's a huge amount around that. There is a lot around how do I move from operational HR to strategic HR and start to make a difference. because for the last 18 months, a lot of HR leaders have told me that all they're doing is operational, you know, because it's all about employees offsite, keeping the employees safe, everything around that, right? But that's not the future of work. That's not what they're needed to do. So how do they start working with their teams, you know? How do they start delegating? And I actually did my master's on what are the competencies for HR to move from operational to strategic. And so I have a real passion about that, like that for HR professionals to have an impact, to be seen as a trusted advisor, to be, you know, to be wanted in their capacity, they need to understand what is the strategic impact that they need to be making in their business. And to do that, how do they move their operational work either to shared services, wherever, to their team, automate it, whatever they need to do. But how do they become more focused? And so that has been a big part of the the coaching program as well, looking at that. And then finally, again, probably because I recognize it myself, you know, what are the behaviors that have got you to a certain level that have been a success, but they're no longer what you need to get to the next level? And how do you recognize those behaviors? You know, a lot of HR professionals would say that work hard, deliver has got them promoted to a certain level, but that those behaviors might be what's going to hold them back to get to the next level.
Is there any commonality as to what is, I know this is a very broad generalization, but what sort of things, and you touched on some of them possibly there, but what sort of things are holding people back getting to the next level? So if you say it's behaviors, maybe it's on delivery and it's got them promoted to a certain level, what is the behavior then that they need to change, or what are the typical behaviors that are holding them back at that point, if you get me?
One of the main behaviors that are holding HR professionals back is they just get on and do the job, and nobody knows the work that they're doing. They don't invest in networking. They don't invest in telling their manager's manager, what they want. So, you know, a very good example of this is last year, our HR director took up coaching with me privately, and her manager had said to her that they could only promote one person in the promotions in November. And although it should be her, it might not be her. And we worked on together how we could change that narrative, right? How could we get, and I'm delighted to say that she was promoted to senior director. But Declan, she was already, in my view, acting as a senior director, and she does want to get to VP. So we put together a plan of what she needs to do, who she needs to network, the messages she needs to say to get her to that VP level in 3 years' time. You know, and one of the very basics is that the senior VP of the HR team and the senior VP of HR never knew that that was her ambition and that she was willing to move to the US. So that was something that was holding her back, because she had never articulated it to the people that needed to know that this is what she wanted. So I think HR professionals, in a lot of cases, we don't promote, we don't focus ourselves on our career to get what we want, especially if we want those senior roles and we want to get to the next level. We're very focused on doing the day job, and years just pass you by because you haven't put that focus, that laser focus on what is it that I want in the next 5 years.
And in terms of that career planning, you know, being strategic about your own career, I guess, Susan, is what you're talking about there. I presume you can start thinking about that at any stage, or how do you think people should approach it? If, you know, there's people listening to this who are maybe nearer the beginning of their HR career, do you think that's a good time to start thinking about it, or is it always a good time to start thinking about it?
I think it's always a good time to start thinking about it. And one of my passions is mentoring HR graduates. I've been fortunate enough that I've always mentored HR graduates. I love them. I love their enthusiasm and their you know, their ambition, their knowledge. And I do some guest lecturing up in UCC on the master's HR group. And again, I think you can never be too soon to be thinking about your career. But I feel that the HR careers have changed slightly since certainly when I went into my first role. You know, you went in as a generalist and you became the generalist, you know, but now it's very functional, isn't it? You know, you might have comp and ben, you might have talent acquisition, you might have, you know, and I think that we need to become very much aware of developing your career can be lateral as well as progressive. You know, it's a good idea to think about how do you get experiences in each of the different areas of HR to really understand which is the one that plays to your strengths. What one are you really good at to help develop that? Because the role of HR generalist or HR operations, they're becoming fewer. It's more specialized. So I think from the very start, you know, absolutely getting more experience and being comfortable that moving laterally is as important as moving upwards. The other thing I think, junior HR people are very comfortable in moving to different organizations. And I actually don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know, if you've done your 2 years, your 3 years, yeah, maybe you should move to different cultures. I did an interview for a company. They asked me to come on and help them interview for a new HR role. It was at a manager level. And the person being interviewed said, I actually don't want to work in US multinationals. I prefer SMEs. And I just thought, wow, good for you. I love that. And my own background, I've done the SMEs, but I loved the US multinationals. So I think for you to hone that point of view, you need to experience the different cultures and really appreciate it. So it's okay as a junior person to be focused on their career and move around, no more than I really wanted that international experience, so I moved from one role to another.
Yeah, and it's a good point. It has become very siloed. You are absolutely, I agree with you. People, you know, a lot of large organizations talk about centers of excellence. So whether that's reward or compensation, whatever it is, but you could stay in that area and be an absolute specialist in that area, but not have that broader knowledge that you're talking about, Susan. I have heard multiple very successful people credit their coach or coaches in for their success. It is not untypical. If anything, it's becoming more and more frequent. Why do more people not have coaches at an earlier stage in their career? Or there's definitely large numbers who just would never even consider doing so. Why do you think that is?
Certainly, I think in the US, there is that mindset shift, you know, to have a coach now. And there's certainly more and more companies coming on board, you know, like Esri or BetterUp that are doing that coaching on the go. And I think that's fantastic. I think coaching, you know, firstly, it's an unregulated industry at the moment, right? Yes, absolutely. ICF and EMCC are making it more regulated. So maybe, you know, there's a bit of nervousness around how do you choose a good coach? What does a good coach look like? I think that there might be something there. I think with HR professionals, that there is back to a lot of them do coaching anyway in their day job, or what they seem is coaching, right? Because they ask the right questions. So I often hear like, well, I don't need a coach because I do self-coaching. And like, honestly, self-coaching is just not the same. You know, that's why coaches have supervisors. That's why, you know, I myself go to coaching mentoring groups, because it's very hard to self-coach. So I think there's a mindset there that HR professionals think that they can do self-coaching. And also, I think that lots of people have not had the experience of the transformation of what coaching can do. And until you can talk about it, you can believe in it, but until you've really experienced that mindset shift, that behavioral change, you have spent time and energy thinking about yourself and what is holding you back, what is those biases, what are those beliefs that you don't even know you have that are holding you back, you don't appreciate the power of coaching. And that's why you just don't invest in the coaching for you. And back to, again, I think HR professionals, this is an excuse now that I say it, but they're very busy and they're always putting their organization first. I think that they're back to like those cobbler's children. They don't focus on themselves.
I think that's a common thing, even like as I do one-to-ones with my team, I'm always talking about personal development plans and stuff. And the first thing that gets thrown out the window is personal development. And you know, once people get busy, so, you know, coaching, I can totally see in that. What do you see as the big benefits for coaching or for getting a coach?
What are the big benefits for getting a coach? I probably should have prepared this question a bit better, maybe. I think it's twofold, right? I think if you do a program like one that I've developed, the big benefit is that it drives you to be a success in your current role and prepares you for your next level, right? It's as simple as that. But if you have regular coaching, right? Like, so some of my clients come once a month, it's like a check-in. And it's like sometimes they might say to me, I don't have anything to talk about this month. They always do. There's always something bubbling along there, you know. And I am somebody who will always give you an action, you know, that you have identified yourself, right? I was talking to somebody yesterday now, and very simple, right? He's the head of employee benefits or something, but he wants a mentor. That's what he said. I want a mentor. But he hadn't put put the thought into it. Now, remember, this gentleman is really senior. He does coaching in his day-to-day job. Yeah. But he hadn't put himself into, like, what do I need to do here to identify who would be a good mentor for me? And it's not just internally, it's externally. So I think that's the benefit of coaching. It helps you come out of it comes out of your head. It helps you unravel all that noise that you're hearing. And it helps you form a plan.
Yeah.
Also, like, leadership at any level can be a lonely place. And especially in HR, you know, well, I think leadership at any level can be a lonely place because you're supposed to be seen to have all the answers. So when that happens, you know, that noise in your head starts to build and build and build. And if you don't have a safe place to unravel that and really think about what's going on here, which is what coaching can do, it just gets worse and worse and worse until finally, you know, you're back to your sleepless nights, you're back to, you can't relax. And I think brain fog and that inability to make good decisions is a result of that not working through those questions that you need answers to. They just keep going around in your head. Again, I had somebody there very recently who said to me, I'm so exhausted from making decisions every single day. I can't choose paint for my bedroom. And that's a real problem, that brain fog where you have so much going on in your head that you have forgotten how to get through to that clarity of thought. And I know, you know, look, some of them are cliches. If my husband was listening to me, he'd be like, look, forget those cliches, they're clarity of thought. But honestly, how do you make good decisions for you, your team, your organization, if you have so much noise going on in your head that you can't develop a clear stream of consciousness?
Yeah, that decision fatigue is it's interesting. I mean, there's some high profile people who literally wear the same hoodie every day, or the same suit every day, or combinations of them, just so they don't have to even think about, you know, clothing, just to remove one decision along the way for you know, because of the cumulative effect, obviously. And last thing, Susan, typically do people arrive to you with a particular problem that they want solved, or is it a more holistic general approach when they engage with you for coaching? And what's the best way to approach it?
I think that it's both. And I think that people come saying, I want to build resilience, or I want to build confidence, or I want to change jobs and I want you to help me do it. And actually, that's not really what's going on. It's something else. So, you know, let's take that very simple example. You know, someone says, I want to change jobs. Okay, so I will always understand why now. And you know, more and more people over the last 18 months have really started to look at their values and to see, are their values aligned with the company's values? You know, some organizations have handled the pandemic really very, very well, and some haven't, you know. And I'm hearing that actually, you know, they might say, like, I want out of HR, or I want out of their field. But actually, when you break it down, or when you unravel it, it's not that, that's not what's going on. It's that their values are not aligned to their company's values. So that's why they need to change. Or it might be actually they don't need to change roles. The company's the right role. They just need to maybe change departments or change somewhere else. So it's a bit of both, if I'm honest, Declan. And there's always something more, because you've only done so much thinking. Like, it's back to, right, you've done your conscious thinking. Right. But what is your subconscious telling you? And more, we're so busy. Right. I love that. Yeah. That decision fatigue. We're so, so, so busy every day. And we have so much noise. We often never hear what our subconscious is telling us. And it's only when we stop thinking up here in our head that we can hear what our gut and our mind and our head is trying to tell you. And that's what coaching gives you. It allows you to come, do a brain dump of what's going on up here, and through series of questions, a series of approaches, you figure out what is really going on here, in your subconscious area.
Susan, thanks so much for joining us today. If people want to get in contact and have a chat to you about coaching, what's the best way to get in contact?
Yeah, they can drop me an email, susan@susanmanning.ie, or look at my website, which again is very simple, susanmanning.ie. But I'd love to hear from anyone, especially any level of the HR profession. I'm really happy to always have a chat. They're my favourite conversations, so I'd love to hear from anyone.
Brilliant. Thanks, Susan.
Thanks, Declan.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.